Hi, I'm Doug Gorton. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. If I asked you to name the performer who doubled as a stand-up comedian and a performance artist, who would you think of? That's right, it's Andy Kaufman. Director Alex Braverman knows more about Andy than we'll ever know. Alex is the director of the documentary film Thank You Very Much, which won the Venice Classics Award for Best Documentary at the 80th Venice International Festival. Alex decided to only interview people who knew Andy, resulting in an intimate look at Kaufman's life. He also included rare archival interviews with Andy's father, Lorne Michaels, and Laurie Anderson. Andy died of lung cancer on May 16, 1984. He was only 35 years old. But 41 years later, we are still talking about this hard-to-know comedy genius.
What inspired me to create the film is I love Kaufman's work, and I saw Man on the Moon when it came out, and like a lot of others. And I love Jim and Andy as well. They're both great films, but I felt like there was still an opportunity to make the definitive feature documentary look at him and his life and his career, and really just set out to make a film that captures somewhat of the feeling that one might have had watching him in these clubs. I wanted to make a film that gave his work the time on screen to feel some of the awkwardness and feel some of the silence that he created.
I would like to imitate a
and what the act is all about was embarrassment. That premise of a guy that really shouldn't be there.
I don't understand one thing. No, seriously. Why everyone is going boo on like the joke when I tell some of the jokes. And then when I don't want you to laugh, you're laughing. Like right now. I don't understand.
But ultimately, I just felt like he was a really significant artist and wanted to try to attempt to give him his due.
Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. Your parents have a connection with you and Andy Kaufman. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. In the 70s, my parents worked together on producing and directing a number of specials. And in 1979, they produced the Showtime airing of Andy Kaufman's special that he produced with Bob Zemuda. Andy Kaufman plays Carnegie Hall.
For a show that wasn't rehearsed, it came off without a hitch. I'm sure it's the craziest show that was ever at Carnegie Hall.
And then there was a guy who I think was homeless that Andy met in Times Square.
On the corner of 45th Street and Broadway, I saw a crowd of people in a circle, and they were all watching this one man, and he's with us tonight.
And the guy was singing this song.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Later on, he brought a lady that was a dancer in the 30s, and she had a heart attack on stage.
Am I supposed to laugh at that?
I just grew up having seen that tape because it was in my house, and I grew up with them telling me stories about Andy and just became fascinated. And some of the Kaufman stories are just like catnip to a kid where, you know, he's taking his audience out for milk and cookies. He's working as a busboy at Jerry's Famous Deli at the height of his fame. Things like that. And of course, Tony Clifton having an alter ego. They leave a mark, at least they did on me. So he was always someone that I was aware of and inspired by and curious about. I love stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. You have said that there's something about Andy's work that doesn't get old for you. How so?
Well, I think as a performer, as a personality, as a persona, however you want to define it, he's not someone that will ever break down what he's doing. It's not that he doesn't break character. I think he does break character, and I think that he does give interviews as himself from time to time. It's just that even when he's doing that, you're not actually entirely sure if this is the real guy or not, or if it's just a guy pretending to be the real guy because he's, you know, he just has that quality. And so there's a little bit of a closed loop or sealed off effect going on there where, like, you're never going to fully penetrate, like, the inner workings of his mind.
The question always comes up, who was the real Andy Kaufman?
Oh, yeah, it's always good to be yourself and go out there and show the people who you really are.
Andy Kaufman.
And now here is the real Andy Kaufman.
So that was really you out there, and then what are you doing
right now?
Now
this is really me.
Oh.
So now you are speaking as you really speak.
Because this show is interested in the truth. Really, I'm only fooling. This is really me. And everything else I was just doing before was just a character.
You know, it's a riddle that can't fully be answered. And I think that's what makes it eternal.
Yeah, yeah. Bob Zmuda is Andy's writer and friend. What did Bob think of Andy's act the first time he saw him perform at the Improv?
Well, I think just like everyone else, you know, he was mesmerized and confused. In those early days when Andy would show up at the Improv or Catch a Rising Star, he has a American or North American, at least, sounding name. But then he's getting up on stage and speaking in this completely Eastern European or beyond accent. And everyone's just kind of having the same reaction of like, oh no, like who is this poor man? And how is he allowed up on stage to perform? Like, these are barely even jokes. Like, he's truly bombing. And I think, like everyone else, including Bud Friedman or Rick at Catch a Rising Star, like, they were embarrassed for him and confused and ultimately hypnotized and mesmerized and then delighted.
Thank you very much.
You know, the first time I saw Andy Kaufman, I went to the Improv.
Right now, I would like to do some imitations for you.
And I don't know anything is real. Thank you very much with this guy. And he's got his hair plastered down. And he looks like some foreign guy that just got off the bus.
I would like to imitate my Aunt Esther. You come into the house right now, put on your coat and eat everything is on your plate. Thank you very much.
And Bud's sitting in the back and people are coming up to him saying, you should really get this guy off. This is terrible.
I'm convinced this is the way the kid talks. And he's doing his little act, and he's getting laughs. I said, well, that's a little silly, not exactly my cup of tea.
Last, but not to be the least, I would like to imitate the Elvis Presley.
Bob has said that Andy was a normal kid until he was 4 or 5, and his best friend was his grandfather. And one day, his grandfather doesn't show up. What happened?
When he was around 4 or 5, according to Bob, that's when his grandfather died, and his parents just didn't feel it was appropriate to have that conversation with him, or maybe they were worried about having that conversation with him, introducing this concept of death. And so they told Andy that he went traveling, and that may have been harder for Andy to accept than the concept of death, because this is a guy, his grandfather, you know, they spent a lot of time together. They were constantly like playing and singing songs and hanging out. And the idea that he left without saying goodbye, or why didn't he take me with him? These are ideas that, according to Bob and according to Andy, you can hear him talk about it in the film a little bit. You know, it just haunted him and really upset him.
Andy started teaching transcendental meditation in 1971. Why?
He found meditation at a moment in his life where he was struggling, according to recollections from his friends that were recalling what he had told them. You know, he was deep into drugs and drinking and was kind of running away at times and living in public spaces like parks and things like that. And when he found TM and really became devoted to it, sort of saved his life. And it also sort of led him on a path more focused on his interests and his ambitions. And so as a practitioner of TM and someone that associating with people from within the movement, there's a pull to just sort of spend more and more time with other people doing it, or travel to Fairfield, Iowa, where sort of the spiritual home of TM in this country. And I think you end up just taking classes with people, and they're called teacher training courses. And the whole idea is to have a deeper understanding of it. And if you take enough of these teacher training courses and put in the hours, you know, you're certified to teach it yourself. And I think that's what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Imagine having Andy as your meditation teacher. That would be such a cool experience.
That would be interesting. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Andy took his foreign man character and morphed it into the mechanic Latka Gravis on the hit sitcom Taxi. But then Tony Clifton moves into the garage. What happens? Tell us a bit about the whole Tony Clifton story.
Yeah, so Tony Clifton is an alter ego of Andy's, and occasionally played by Bob as well. But all of these different characters or personas that he embodied, whether it was Tony or the wrestler or Elvis, they were outlets for him to get certain aspects of his personality out. And I think in the case of Tony Clifton, you know, he famously gets on Taxi. I think what it is that when Andy signed his contract for Taxi, he agreed to be on the show if Tony Clifton would be allowed guest spots on a few episodes. They agreed for some reason. As the story goes, Tony was a horrible actor and he couldn't really do his lines, and they wanted to replace him, and so he just blew up on the set.
This is what kind of actor Tony Clifton was. I remember the line especially. It was like, you know, Ma, sometimes she's sad, sometimes she's glad.
I mean, everything was talking like that.
The cast will say, we're getting our lawyers. Forget what's in the contract. I'm not going to look like an idiot when we shoot this on Friday.
One of those stories, again, that, you know, I'm hearing as a child, and just like my mind is blown, that he had this alter ego character that he got on a sitcom, and he was thrown off the set. He was thrown off Taxi and fired. And then Andy came back to work the next day or a few days later and pretended like nothing had happened.
You mentioned wrestling. What is your take on Andy wrestling women?
Well, he grew up loving wrestling. Mm-hmm. He was a huge fan of wrestling. And I think that he looked to quote unquote professional wrestlers the same way that a young kid today might look at movie stars or pop stars. Like, these were heroes of his. And I think he also appreciated the story behind wrestling, that there's a good guy and a bad guy. I think he, not to say he related to that, but he really loved that and loved the story. And I think he more specifically loved the bad guys. He also, for some reason, and this is where it gets a little controversial or whatever, but like, he was also like turned on by the idea of wrestling. And so on the one hand, he's wrestling because he loves wrestling. On another hand, he's wrestling women because he understands that it's a very potent social satire to be making at the time, you know, commentary on chauvinism and misogyny. And then the next layer to it is that he just really wanted to wrestle women.
You fans who started booing and hissing me tonight, don't try that again. I am a star, and next time I come here, I want you all to get down on your knees and bow down to me. And if I pass you by, kiss my feet.
It is kind of a curveball that he's throwing in there as far as career trajectory and survivability goes. The fact that he decided to pursue it anyway is bizarre, but also courageous.
Yeah, exactly. Very well said. It's bizarre and courageous. And it's the kind of thing that on one hand you wouldn't expect Andy Kaufman to do, but then when you think more about it, well, of course he'd do this, you know, because that's expect the unexpected. That's kind of his mantra in many ways. I think that Andy was equal parts stand-up comedian and performance artist. And I think that's the reason we're still talking about him 40 years after his death. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's all of the above. He's an entertainer. He calls himself a song and dance man. Other people have referred to him as a performance artist, which I think is a completely fair and justified. And as a label, I'd say it's kind of an honor too. I guess he's a comedian in the sense that he's performing on stage at comedy clubs and making people laugh. He's a singer. He's an incredible drummer, you know, conga player.
Yeah.
He's an actor. So yeah, he's all of these things, which to me falls neatly under the umbrella of just entertainer.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from watching Thank You Very Much?
Whether he's intentionally commenting on society or not, or whether he's just having fun. You know, there's a great line in the movie from Laurie Anderson where she says, you know, he was a mirror. People didn't like what they saw a lot of the times. And I think it's very true. He's a mirror to how we are as a society, and feels quite relevant to the day and years that he was performing in the 70s and 80s. But the way that he reflects back on society now feels just as current and fresh. So for me, I also just felt like he's an artist who I really wanted to try to give his due and try to leave you with a feeling that I had about him as well. Let him make a lasting impression and have this film be sort of a starting point for anyone that's interested in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Alex Braverman, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on your award-winning documentary. Thank you very much. And here's hoping that Andy is goofing on Elvis, wherever they both are.
Thank you very much.
Here I come to save the day. That means that my...
Alex Braverman is the award-winning director of the Andy Kaufman documentary, Thank You Very Much. Find out more about Alex and Andy at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Paul Hunter, Vijay Khurana, and Alex Braverman.
They have a lot of zany stuff on this program, don't you think?
Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And you can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta.
Even for the intranet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
It was created for WPR by yours truly and Adam Friedrich.
I'm undefeated. This is covered in sports pages in every city that I do it.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Nice to see everybody out here. Everybody feeling good? Yeah. All right.
Our executive producer is Brad Kohlberg.
Last, but not to be the least.
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
Thank you very much.